Isn't this a sports show?
You guys really enjoyed hosting the show without me last night, didn't you?
I mean, a couple people said it was better.
I believe
mom and dad were very happy.
Almost entirely.
I welcome you to think that I'm an idiot. That's great. You'll be correct.
This is Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe.
What? What is going on?
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
The two biggest detriments to me ever having like an actual radio career, I think, or I have three greatest detriments. Number one, I have a bad memory. Number two, I'm easily distracted. And number three, I'm not good at radio.
Also, he's not that likable.
I was going to say that next, actually. Yeah. I was going to say also, I'm not very likable.
You have a squeaky voice for radio.
Right, I do. I have a bad radio voice.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, yeah. I know you all tuned in for Almost Entirely Sports, but you know what? Your boy Darren Smith had other ideas. We're taking over the show tonight with the ship with Darren Smith. We're no longer on Sundays. It's Labor Day. So I thought, you know what? Josh is out. Let me come in. You know what they say? You know, when the cat's out, the mice come out to play. And that's what we're about to do. We're about to take over this show. Of course, you can get on the phone lines at 913-3810-810. Thank you so much for tuning in on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 810WHB.com. Darren Smith with you live in studio. We got our guy Beards keeping us on the air over the next 3 hours. Joining me in studio, of course, you hear his voice on Sundays with me, Mr. Lance Twidwell, host of the Spoken Podcast. Lance, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, man. It is so awesome to actually have a little bit of a change of pace between you and I. We're out here in the evening hours. You know, we come in here on Sundays and we're getting the crusties out of our eyes, but we're here out here after a full day getting to kind of just lay back and have a good time, bring the energy, that second wind.
There's no such thing as laid back with me.
that's actually true, because when I heard the music come on, the WWE music come on, I envisioned you coming out like Vince McMahon out of the Titan. You know, that little strut he's got going on. I pictured you, Darren, even though you just got out of the gym. Maybe you're feeling good about yourself. That's
feeling
your opportunity
good.
To do a little Vince McMahon impersonation.
I'm feeling good. You can't really tell me nothing right now. I'm shedding weight. I'm under 260 pounds for the first time since only God knows when.
Salute, brother.
And so I'm doing pretty good on that. Look, I've got to say that, hopefully Josh is enjoying his vacation. But, yeah, when I heard when I knew I was doing the show, I definitely thought to myself, I gotta have the NWO theme, you know, a little Jimi Hendrix in the background, because I mean, that's what you do. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you know, you like stuff like that. But had we been on camera, had we, you know, been streaming or whatever, yeah, I was thinking about coming out, you know, trying to find my Hulk Hogan, you know, NWO bandana spray paint and start spray painting this deal, say NWO or the ship or something, you know, have it over the logo or something. That's what I thought about doing, but you know what? My mama taught me better.
You should have told me, man. I went to Party City and got a bunch of stuff, man. We'd have gone all out.
Yeah, but you know what?
I
got to respect things because at the end of the day, beer's going to come back, you know, tomorrow night or Monday, and I don't want to get in trouble with Josh when I see him out at the stadium, you know, talking to me. You tried to take over my show. I did take it over, man. You weren't here, you know, saying stuff like that. And so, but look, getting all that, of course, on tonight, I really want to look at the NFL preview. So this was actually going to be our preview show this coming Sunday. I'll be joined in the third hour. I'll be talking with Seren Petro, who's going to, you know, he just got through doing a show just an hour ago, but he's kind enough to join me in the third hour tonight, 9 o'clock, and we'll get a more in-depth look of the Kansas City Chiefs and get his predictions and stuff. For the upcoming NFL season. I'm pretty sure we're going to have some disagreements along the way having that conversation. But, Lance, first things first, Chiefs finally got a chance to get down to their final roster, final 53. They've signed their 16 players via the practice squad. We do know some of the players that fans were probably hoping were going to make the team didn't. Those players who some hope did make the team, made the team, so to speak. But want to get your thoughts before we, you know, go further on the final 53 and the practice squad of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's hard to look at this team as it's currently constructed and think this isn't maybe the deepest team the Chiefs have had, not just in the Andy Reid era, but in recent memory. just from just a talent perspective alone, from the experience perspective. And when you talk about young contributors coming to this team from the draft or free agents pickups or trades like Orlando Brown Jr., from top to bottom, I think that the Chiefs overall, and they're the experts here, we're sitting here breaking down our own viewpoints on it, but I think the experts did the right thing.
Hold on, whoa. Just because I'm a GM don't make me dirty. I mean, I'm not an expert. Trust me. I've seen a lot of things.
Let me speak for my seat, then.
I know exactly what this team was needing.
There was a few moves that I kind of raised my eyebrows to. In particular, you know how I feel about DeMarcus Robinson, and I felt that he didn't elevate his game from year to year. And I felt that this might have been the perfect opportunity for the Chiefs to move on. They didn't do that. They still trust in him. So I'm going to let them see what this, you know, how this plays out.
Now, you remember rule number two on my show.
I do. And I don't feel like I was borderline in it.
You do not slander Michael Jordan on this show. Rule number two, got to go easy on DeMarcus. I got to see him at the barbershop.
Fair enough. But I don't. So I can be a little more brave, you know. I would say of all the surprising moves, because now we know that Marcus Kemp's going to be joining the team back. I know that was something that people were a little, you know, concerned about. But he's going to be back on the roster. The one that I think was a little surprising to me was Tim Ward. The biggest reason why is because he had 3 sacks in the preseason. A young player that was motivated and driven, I felt that can contribute to this team. Now, I understand why they ended up keeping Chris Lammons ultimately because they needed that depth position. But at the end of the day, I'm looking for guys that are going to come in here and capitalize on opportunity. We've talked about that on our Sunday show. I want to see guys, when given opportunity, no matter what time of a preseason game it is or when in training camp it is, they capitalize on opportunity. Same with Derek Gore, and I'm glad he's back in the practice squad. But Tim Ward, you saw it in the waiver wire. As soon as he was on the waiver wire, literally one team passed on him. It was the Jaguars. After that, Robert Saleh and the Jets took him immediately because they saw the same thing I think a lot of us here in Kansas City saw. Quick burst, able to get to the quarterback, whether he's getting a sack or not, he's getting pressure. Outside of that, I mean, if we're sitting here literally complaining about a guy like Tim Ward, who is probably not going to see the field a lot this season to begin with, then I think it goes to the point that I made at the very beginning of this take. This roster is insanely deep if that's the kind of guy that we're sitting here griping about.
First of all, one of the few takes I actually agree with you on, because yes, this roster is extremely deep, and look, it's going to need to be deep. I'm gonna ask Seren about this later on, because one of the things that has been concerning of me, and you know, going out to the practices and post game or whatever, is when they come in and they give us the injury report. And obviously, you know, look, I'm a big proponent of preseason. A lot of these players didn't even play in the preseason. Of course, they got kind of nicked up or whatever. Look, Tyrann Mathews. COVID-19, you know, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the fact that Frank Clark hadn't played all preseason, a little concerned. I'm not sure, you know, whether or not he's going to be ready for week number one. Derek Nnadi hadn't played a couple of weeks, not sure about that. And just the depth on both sides of the ball, mainly more so with the running backs. We don't know to the extent Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, how long they're going to be out. We only got basically one running back in Jerick McKinnon. Yes, we do have a fullback, but we're not expecting much out of him as it relates to this offensive team. The two linemen that are quote-unquote questionable, Austin Blythe, LDT, the doctor, he's expected to be ready by week one, according to Brett Veach, I believe. He mentioned on his deal yesterday. Willie Gay. Yeah, I know you want to talk about that, the fact that he's got that turf toe. Talked a little bit about it on the show earlier today on Darren Estrella on ESPN, Kansas City, 3 to 4 p.m., daily shameless plug. That being the case, though, Willie Gay being injured, look, he had just got out of concussion protocol just a couple of weeks ago, and I know his excitement for being able to play at Arrowhead went through the roof, and the fact that now he's injured with the turf toe, there, you know, it could be on the worst scale career ending. I don't think it's going to get to that point. But be that as it may, he's going to be out for a few weeks. That's the reason why Brett V said that they kept 6 linebackers instead of 5. You know, I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Chiefs got a little bit too many injuries for my concern this early on.
Yeah, when it comes to the Willie Gay one, the biggest reason why I'm concerned isn't because of what I think the Chiefs can and can't do without him in the time being. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine without Willie Gay for the first 3 to 4 weeks that he's going to be missing. He's probably going to miss all of September. What concerns me is him, because although he's only been here not even 2 seasons yet, he's already had a myriad of injuries. We're talking about having an ankle injury that kept him out. I think he injured in week 17 when he was on absolute fire. One of the only good players or things noteworthy of that game against the Chargers. They absolutely blew out the backups of the Chiefs in week 17. But then he misses the divisional round, and he misses the AFC Championship game, gets ready to play in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers, and blows his meniscus. And now, you like you mentioned, the concussion protocol in training camp, and now he's got this injury. To me, it just, it's concerning. It's something that I feel that we need to pay attention to because of the fact this isn't some guy. This isn't a Jag where it's just a guy filling a spot. This is a guy a lot of people are anticipating to play a pivotal role on a defense that all of us, most of us, I don't want to speak for everybody, a lot of us were very high on, and I think still are high on, and now you have to look, kind of take a step back and say, okay, can Willie Gay sustain health? Can he do it? And that is, I think that is a legitimate question. As far as the big picture is concerned, I don't think this is going to detour the Chiefs from going for another Super Bowl run. I just think that when it comes to the individual, it's something we really do need to pay attention to more than ever.
Well, you are talking about Super Bowl run. I mean, I wasn't thinking that far ahead. These injuries, I don't think is going to be that detrimental to the team's success at all. Again, Frank Clark, though, for me, that's the one I think about it because, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk to Frank Clark during training camp where he didn't get a chance to address the media as it relates to his gun charges. And, of course, with him being injured, we're definitely not going to talk to him anytime soon. So hopefully he'll be ready to go week number one and we can have a word with him. Looking at Tyrann Mathieu, though, the fact that he tested positive yesterday. Now, from my understanding with the protocol, because he's fully vaccinated, he just needs to test negative twice within a 24-hour period, and then I believe perhaps he's able to come off of the COVID. It's kind of like what Carson Wentz has done with the Indianapolis Colts. But be that as it may, and again, I'm going to bring this up with our guy Serena a little bit later on. I posed this question earlier on the show, on the 3 o'clock show, but we saw with Kansas City and the length that the players did to somewhat keep themselves sequestered so they don't, risk having an outbreak or, having any of their valuable players miss out any games or whatever. Now, because he's fully vaccinated, the rules are different than someone who's unvaccinated. But pose this question. Would you be opposed if the players isolated themselves this upcoming season? Hey, go to practice, go back home, DoorDash, Uber Eats, go to the game, get your box lunch, take it back to the crib, is what it is. But you do that throughout the season because your NFL career is finite. And if you have a legit chance to make it to the Super Bowl, are you willing to make whatever sacrifices willing to be made for the betterment of the team and the organization to see to it that you can get back to Los Angeles?
How in the world could I be opposed to somebody doing the same routine that I do each and every day? I mean, look, as much of an extrovert as I am,
you ain't getting paid $500 million.
That's a good point, but I'm saying, I think that is ultimate. If I made the choice for these professional athletes, I think of all people, the professional athletes should be the ones living that lifestyle as much as anybody else because of the fact of how much rides on not just being able to go for a Super Bowl, go for a long run in the playoffs, but also for the fact that we're talking about game checks here. We're talking about, if teams test positive and guys are unvaccinated, that can cost their teams literally games, which means they ain't getting paid as a collective. So that is a real, that is a serious issue here, man. And so, and I want to compare it a little bit to something else that is a far lesser of significance, but it's still something that we've seen players do. And we've heard the cliches about it. We know there's a lot of players in these leagues that smoke weed. And they talk about how, well, don't do it during the season, just do it after the season when they ain't test you nonstop. Look at it the same way. Live the same routine, stay as clean as possible, stay away from as many people as possible, do your job, get home, DoorDash like my dude at Aaron said, be as safe as possible, and then when the offseason's there, if you really want to get out there and break free, then we can start talking about something else, because that is your life at the end of the day. I just think that in the season, and I think that the Chiefs are one of those few teams that view it as close to that as possible. I think that that's the best way of going about it.
Looking at the Chiefs depth chart, one thing we didn't talk about is they kept four tight ends. Now, Jody Fortson, I'm someone who, again, I love preseason. I love talking to Andy throughout training camp, getting his thoughts, and even Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo, and Dave Tobe, and you know, just getting their thoughts on the message that they're telling these players who are trying to make the team. I mean, you know, look, they got an idea going into training camp, their core, perhaps 46, you know, maybe outside of Cornell Powell, they probably thought, you know, all their draft picks and everyone else would do well and would make the squad. But the fact that someone like Jody Fortson, you know, who has spent 3 years on the practice squad to get a chance, we spoke to him, what day was this? I guess it was Monday or two. It was one day this week. We spoke. It was Tuesday. We spoke to him. We spoke to Mike Hughes, and we also spoke to Andy Reid. But just the joy getting a chance, because we found out before he even had a chance to tell his parents. I mean, I don't know. Call me a sucker. Call me a sap. But I like stuff like that because that's real raw emotion that we got a chance to see him. And I know we're Facebook friends and stuff like that. But I know, you know, like the journey that he's traveled and the fact that he made it to the 53-man roster. Now, you did that part. Now you got to do what you got to do to stay on it. But just talk about the fact that we've got four tight ends. And, look, he might not see the field that much. But if we saw anything like we did against Minnesota and they run that 14 personnel package, I mean, one, that shows just, again, how deep Kansas City is that they can go that far into the playbook. But the fact that they kept four tight ends above other positions says a lot about not only his maturity and his growth in this team's offense, but again, he can also still play wide receiver. I mean, he's a 6'6 big body guy, so if Patrick needs to throw it over somebody, you know, if they can't get separated, he can just throw it up and put him out there, line up outside, and get a touchdown.
When it comes to Jody Fortson in particular, I think he's a representation of everything that we do love about sports. And that goes across the board, not just Chiefs fans, not just, you know, local fans of any whatever teams are out here in Kansas City. I'm talking about sports fans. We all love those movies, you know, Remember the Titans and Miracle and stuff like that, because why? There's these uplifting, redemptive stories.
Remember the Titans was good, man.
I'm telling you, Denzel killed it, man. And that's what I'm saying. Like, those stories, though, uplift us because it's what we love. It's sometimes it's not reality, but then you get stories like Jody Fortson that can be that reality. And I think that he has that a real opportunity to be that type of story. Chris Jones talks about it all the time, about how, you know, they're gonna make a movie about this one day. Well, that's kind of what's happening right now in some regard when it comes to Jody Fortson, because as you alluded to, everything that broke down to where he's at right this second, yes, there is a ton of proving ground left for him to obtain. But for him to get to this place and to gain the trust of not just an NFL team, but an NFL team that is in the midst of a back-to-back Super Bowl appearance, to be able to be on that team and for them to trust you to add, almost at an unprecedented level here in Kansas City, a fourth tight end, and you being that, is something that I marvel and I love and I respect so much, and I have nothing but admiration and respect for what Jody Fortson has done and busted his hump over these last 3 years to get to where he's at now. I am so excited, and it goes without saying, to not just see him excel or get the opportunity to excel, but as I put on Twitter a couple days ago, at Lance has spoken, by the way, I said it's there's nothing negative to take away from having four tight ends on this team for Patrick Mahomes to utilize however he sees fit. Think about it. Every tight end on this team is over 6'3". You have Travis Kelce, you have Jody Fortson, and you have Blake Bell that are at least 6'5", and then Noah Gray, who is 6'3". He literally has skyscrapers with cleats to throw to. My guy Jason Dunn loved that, by the way, former Chiefs tight end. He loved that little saying right there, but it's the truth. I mean, you have Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, undersized wide receivers that are speedsters on the outside. Now you have four juggernaut tight ends to utilize, and however Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes want to, how in the world can I look at that and not get excited, Darren? How in the world? You're talking about oversized dudes. They're going to match up against safeties and cornerbacks. Those dudes don't got a chance against these monsters. You got George Marison out there in cleats.
Oh, Lance, boy, I swear. I have no idea what fountain of excitement you and Mark Gunnels drink out of. But, man, I swear, you and some of these takes, man, I'm not going to argue that, but the George Murison comparison just threw me for a loop. I wasn't prepared for that one.
That was off the top, just to let you know.
It was off the top. Now, look, the thing I'm most excited about when I look at this Chiefs offense is, of course, the offensive line. That's what I focused on throughout training camp and even during the preseason games, because at the end of the day, the one player that matters most happens to be the top player voted by his peers is Patrick Mahomes. And if he suffers any type of season in an injury, you know, it's curtains for Kansas City. Look, Chad Henne was 1-1 last year, but he ain't no Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of which, we do want to send our deepest condolences and our thoughts and prayers are with Patrick Mahomes, his family, his auntie, Tanisha, his father, Pat, on, you know, the passing of his grandmother, their mother. And, you know, we really want to keep them in our prayers because we know how much she meant to him and to his father and his auntie and stuff like that. So our thoughts, our prayers on behalf of myself and Lance are to the Mahomes family during their time of grievance right now. But, you know, going back to this, Lance, the fact that, you know, the Chiefs, 5 new players on the offensive line, not too often it happens from a team that plays in the Super Bowl the previous year. And I was, I think I mentioned to Seren just in conversation that things happen for a reason. Like, if the Chiefs would have beaten the New England Patriots in 2018, Bob Sutton is probably still on this team calling the defense, even as bad as that defense was. That had to happen for him to lose. Now, mind you, now it didn't happen the year before when we gave up 18 points against the Tennessee Titans. You know, it is what it is, and you know I'm still kind of salty about that. But if the Chiefs would have won that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we might have been having this conversation with the offensive line because it would have been all about Patrick and his theatrics and his heroics bringing Kansas City back. Be that as it may, what happened. They got their ass kicked so bad that it was obvious what they needed to do. The fact that you got Orlando Brown in the trade, talked about for like 2 months, get Orlando Brown, they did. Bringing in Joe Thuney. I know because it was interesting. A lot of people wanted Trent Williams. I'm like, why would you want Trent Williams? He's going to cost you an arm and a leg, and he's about 6, 7, 8 years, you know, Orlando Brown senior. I'm like, nah, man, let's go with somebody that can grow with Pat along the way. Creed Humphrey, they got in the second round, third round in the draft. Trey Smith got in the 6th round. Lucas Niang, of course, their draft pick from last year, who opted out playing this year as a rookie. I'm really looking forward to this. Seeing what they did in last Friday's game against the Minnesota Vikings, had no negative plays when they were out there. I mean, they marched up the field not once, but twice. Andy sat on the rest of the game. I was mad. I wanted the first half out of this. You know, look, I'm greedy. I want it all. But this offensive line is going to be good. It's going to be a lot of pressure, not only just on them, but also on Patrick. It's going to be pressure on them to keep Patrick safe and upright. But if they do that, pressure is going to be on Patrick because now you got to perform. You know, you talk about being accurate. You want to be accurate. You got to make sure that you know, throw your receivers open, make sure they can hopefully get some separation. And not only that, you got to elevate the wide receivers that, you know, that you got, including McCole Hardman, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson.
I'm not right often, Darren, and I think you know that, but I was 100% right.
You're all right about that.
When it came to this offensive line. And, yeah. and it was so awesome to hear Andy Reid at the national level. He was on a Colin Cowherd show, I believe yesterday, and he was talking about how this is something so new for him, being a coach of over 20 years as a head coach in this league. He's never had 3 rookies on his starting offensive line. So this is a new challenge for Andy, and I actually think that's a blessing in disguise, not just from a talent perspective, because obviously I think that this Chiefs offensive line is going to be one of the more talented offensive lines in the league, not to mention one of the better offensive lines in the league as it progresses throughout the season. But it's also exciting because of the fact that this is giving Andy Reid, who is long in the tooth in his NFL career, an opportunity to maybe tap into something he didn't know he even had, as far as being able to build an offense the way he maybe never has before. And there's a certain level of uniqueness to that. And so to your point about Patrick Mahomes, you are 100% right about that too, is that this is now giving Patrick Mahomes another added challenge to his career because of the fact that I don't think he holds on to, you know, outs or excuses for himself. He's actually one of the last people I think that would ever do that for himself behind closed doors or out in the open to the public. But this gives him an opportunity to basically say, there are no excuses. If this offensive line ends up being just as good or if not better than what we're anticipating at this current time, Patrick Mahomes has no reason to not have an MVP season and for the Chiefs not to get right back into the Super Bowl, right back in the mix for a 3rd consecutive season. And as I have been sitting here breaking down why I love this so much is because of the fact that we all know that Patrick Mahomes is insanely great and he's so exciting outside of the pocket. He creates so well and he's going to continue to do that for years to come. But if we want to see him have a Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning type of longevity, he's got to play a little bit more like them as his time progresses because he's got to protect his body. And you've seen his career quarterback rating in the pocket. It's 100 and it's a 126 quarterback rating. It's the highest in the NFL during his time since 2018. If he plays in the pocket and trusts his guys, this is going to be the most deadly offense in the NFL. I hope everybody's excited for that because I know I am.
Well, it's already deadly, but we'll talk about that and so much more on the other side of the break. This is The Ship with Darren Smith invading Almost Entirely Sports. We'll be right back after this timeout.
This is Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The moment you know it's not Almost Entirely Sports when you hear some of that coming up on this show. I know my guy Beards takes care of it. This is Darren Smith with you over the next 2.5 hours, sitting in for Josh Briscoe for Almost Entirely Sports. This is the Invasion Show with The Ship with Darren Smith. Right now, Ohio State leads Minnesota 7-0. You know what? About this game right quick. I've got bets on both sides, so... You know, this little gambling site, you know, kind of tricked me into this boost thing. So $25 and it's, you know, Ohio State, Minnesota over 58 points. Well, I have a parlay that has Ohio State and Minnesota going under 61 points within, you know, with between that game and Alabama and whoever, they're Miami, and, of course, Clemson and Georgia. And, of course, my guy Sterling reminded me, well, Darren, it could be 38-24. I was like, ain't that a blimp? So now he talked me into the doggone over, which I shouldn't have done, but it is what it is. So right out of the lead in 7-0 it is. 6 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Hopefully, because college football takes forever to complete, you know, I can win one of these bets starting tonight. But be that as it may, looking back, you know, Chiefs, of course, they are in the AFC West. There are teams, of course, over the last couple of seasons have been trying to upgrade their roster, so to speak, to compete against Kansas City. Last year, the Chargers took Justin Herbert. He got in a lot sooner than expected. You know, you punch in somebody's lungs, you know, stuff like that, you're going to get a chance to play a little bit sooner. Hopefully that doesn't happen to, well, I don't know, Andy Dalton? Yeah, maybe. But be that as it may, the Raiders, they upgraded their offense last year where they technically outscored Kansas City in their two-game series that they split with them on. Then, of course, Denver, instead of taking Justin Fields and having a franchise quarterback, they decided to go the Kansas City Chiefs route, you know, of yesteryears where you traded for a veteran quarterback, whether or not he's established, whether or not he's any good, he's better than what they had in Drew Lock. Be that as it may, they got Patrick Surtain to, you know, go along with that defense. I like that defense. I like that roster of Denver. I was hoping they could have gotten Deshaun Watson in a trade or something, but it didn't work out in that manner. Be that as it may, what team do you think could give Kansas City a run for their money in the division?
It's like a tradition of like no other, where the Chargers are always hyped up in the offseason. I get it. Especially this offseason, because of the fact that Justin Herbert had maybe the greatest rookie season a quarterback has ever had, and to your point, he had a short-noticed window of going up against the defending Super Bowl champions last minute. That's nothing any rookie quarterback would ever ask for or ever hope for.
Almost beat him.
But he almost beat him, and he absolutely just stunned the world last year. I don't think a lot of people were expecting him to be great. He was great. But see, the thing with the Chargers is they have talent and have had talent for years. But what do they do on an annual basis? They continue to disappoint because of what? Health. They are always injured. And Derwin James, one of the best defensive players in the league, when available, which is never. So for me to put my faith in the Chargers being this team that's going to actually give the Chiefs a puncher's chance, I don't buy it. Is Justin Herbert going to be a baller and keep them in a lot of games they probably shouldn't be in? Yes. But that is not enough. As we saw in 2018, I know that's an extreme with Patrick Mahomes, but you saw how the deficiencies on the defensive side and the things around Patrick Mahomes were the ultimate detriment for the Chiefs not excelling to where they believe they should have been. And that's what happens. I think that's a similar situation with the Chargers. The Broncos are the team to me.
Hold on. Before you go further, if you make that comparison, then you got them playing the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
No, I'm talking about in regards to where they're at as a franchise. Like, the Chiefs were a team that should have been in the Super Bowl. And because of their deficiencies, they fell short. The Chargers are a team trying to get into the playoffs. And I believe it's the deficiencies around the great quarterback that is budding in Justin Herbert that's going to keep them back from where they should be, is what I'm trying to make a draw comparison to.
But the one pushback I'd give you is that they got a different head coach. Anthony Lynn's no longer there. So that could work in their favor, because we don't know what to expect from him because he's never been a head coach.
And then they have another offensive coordinator that Justin Herbert's got to learn another offense to. And Brandon Staley, an unproven head coach in this league, is a defensive-minded head coach. To me, that creates an interesting dynamic for the Chargers, at least for this season. Could they figure it out? Yes. I still think they're a team that is a year or two away from getting to where they ultimately want to be, if, in fact, Brandon Staley is the right head coach for the job, which we don't know.
One thing, though, Patrick, when he was drafted, was it Matt Nagy or was it the other guy for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Doug Peterson?
Yeah.
I think Doug Peterson was gone because they won the title in 2017.
Okay, so he was gone. So Patrick, his rookie year, had Matt Nagy. But his next year, he had Eric Bieniemy. Now, granted, he should have had the head coach was over the offense, but I mean, he had different play calling in years. So
I think it would have been a lot more difficult for Patrick to excel if Andy Reid was a defensive-minded head coach and Eric Bieniemy had more responsibility on him. But we all know Andy Reid, at the end of the day, is the mastermind behind how the offense is comprised. Although Eric Bieniemy is a great mind when it comes to offensive football, it's still, at the end of the day, Andy Reid's offense. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's what I'm saying. Brandon Staley has a lot to prove, more to prove than even Justin Herbert himself in his sophomore year. The Broncos are the team that are so interesting to me because we've seen Teddy Bridgewater. The last time he had a great defense was back in, I think, 2015 with the Vikings. And he was a mediocre quarterback at that time. He's just right down the middle. He's a 15 to 20 touchdown guy a year. That's a very mediocre quarterback in today's NFL. But yet, the Vikings, went, I think they won, 11 or 12 games that year and were a missed field goal away from getting to the NFC Championship.
That ain't Teddy's fault.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. This Broncos team has potential because that is a top five defense in Denver. And if Teddy Bridgewater, which, by the way, we talked about, you and I both talked about this, the moment the Broncos signed Teddy Bridgewater, I knew the Drew Lock experiment was over. Because of the fact you don't bring a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater in here just to sit the pine. This is a guy that's good enough to get an opportunity with a defense like the Broncos have. The only thing that's holding me back is Vic Fangio and the fact that their offensive weapons are always hurt too. They have young talents, but these guys are always banged up, man. And I don't know if I can buy fully into these Broncos teams, but if I'm looking at roster to roster and who I would trust at the end of the season, despite the difference between Herbert and Teddy Bridgewater, I would say the Broncos have a better chance of finishing above the Chargers as a collective. The Raiders, to me, are in absolute turmoil because of the fact that they started this thing from the get-go with John Gruden, give him a 10-year, $100 million contract when he himself was a coach that was on the fringe to begin with, and he had been away from the league for a decade. He is entertaining as hell on TV. I loved him on Monday Night Football. He was great on Monday Night Football. He is not a great head coach, and when you team him up with a losing quarterback like Derek Carr, you were built for to disaster, more of the same. And I have a theory that John Gruden took that job in Las Vegas, to make sure Patrick Mahomes continues to excel. Because there's no way in the world that dude came here with the crush he had on Patrick Mahomes and went to Las Vegas and tried to get a team better than what Patrick Mahomes has here in Kansas City. It's a joking theory, obviously, but the point remains. The Raiders have not gotten any better from day one to right now. They have not gotten better as a franchise. I don't believe in this team whatsoever, and I think they are the worst team in the AFC, despite the fact they don't have the worst quarterback in the AFC West.
I think Gruden took it. I think he took that job because of the money. I'm sorry. Somebody offer you $100 million, you're going to shake your ass and watch yourself, because I know I would. I'd be out there on the stripper pole quickly. I want to look at some of these other divisions in the AFC. You know, I'm curious. There are people who like the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not a big believer in Carson Wentz. I just, he had a good season the year he got hurt, and of course the team won the Super Bowl. But he's never endeared himself in the locker room. I mean, hell, they built a statue of his damn backup.
You know that hurt.
And there were reports that dude just wasn't that type of dude that people want to hang out or be around. That is kind of filtered over to Indianapolis. Now, of course, he essentially was on the COVID-19 list, meaning he was unvaccinated. He and a few other players, he's off of it currently now. But be that as it may, as the quarterback, as the leader, and I do have an issue with Lamar Jackson not being vaccinated. Cam, being that he's got cut, doesn't matter. But for him to get signed to a team, he's going to have to get vaccinated. But be that as it may, the Indianapolis Colts, granted that, you know, I think they've upgraded their offense and their team overall after, you know, Phillip Rivers, you know, retired. But I'm just not a big believer in Carson Wentz. So be that as it may, I got Tennessee winning this division. Houston Texans, unless Deshaun Watson, and, you know, I hope everything works itself out so he can get out of that situation down in Houston and go to another team and thrive. Of course, he could also, you know, pull the okie doke and tell the coach, "I want to play. I'm ready to play. I want to get in." Then they have to figure something out, because by the CBA agreement, you can't keep him on the bench if he's healthy. You know, you can't. I mean, it just, there's stuff in the CBA that forces that will force their hand, that they'll either have to trade him or they're going to call his bluff, let him play. He might take a sack and be like, "Man, I'm injured. I'm out the rest of the season." And then that lowers what the team can get in a trade for him. That's what I would do if I was Deshaun. And then Jacksonville, of course, Trevor Lawrence. You know, old Urban Meyer, I loved him when he was at Ohio State. I loved him when he was at Florida. I thought he should have been a Dallas Cowboys coach last year. But, man, all the stuff that he's doing down in Jacksonville, open up his mouth and just talking too damn much, he's going to get himself fired and not even finish out this season. But all that being said, AFC South, I got Tennessee winning, walking away with this division.
First of all, it's a two-team race, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. But just on your Texans and Jaguars comments, because those are not the two teams in this race for the AFC South. John McClain is one of the most renowned reporters in the entire NFL, and he stated, and I'm going to trust him on this, that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap with the Houston Texans. If that is the case, and that is what ends up happening, the Texans might be the worst team in football, and I feel so bad. Yeah, I feel so bad for David Coley being basically just the middleman here just to get them through this, and then they're going to fire him and get their coach they really want whenever they try to reform this. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Jaguars, I don't believe in Urban Meyer, and to be honest with you, as crazy as it sounds, I think that he's got even more to prove to everybody in the NFL level, even Trevor Lawrence, because of the fact that we've never seen him do this, and I think he's made some very, very questionable decisions, like the lack of vetting process, even though he claimed it with Doyle, the athletic trainer from Iowa. I mean, what came of that was just embarrassing. If I was a Jags fan, and trust me, they have a myriad of embarrassments out there, for that to be something that you can be even more embarrassed of is impressive in itself. And yes, like you said, the one good decision that Urban Meyer has made as Jaguars head coach is the one he's getting the most heat for, and that is being upfront and honest about, you know, vaccinations playing a part in the due process of how they build their team, because they ain't trying to sacrifice wins in this game, because I know they're going to get a few of them this year. They ain't trying to sacrifice those wins. They're trying to do something this season, and I think that he didn't go about it the right way. I agree with you on that, but that was one stance I did agree with Urban Meyer on, and I felt that he was going about it he wasn't going about it the right way, but it was the right direction, if that makes sense.
What are things you say and things you don't say? That's something that you don't say, because the Players Association of the league has said that is not a reason to cut someone, yes. But Buffalo Bills GM, Chris Ballard, former GM here, who's a GM in Indianapolis, and then Urban Meyer opened up their mouth, as DeMar Smith says, shows how stupid they are. That as it may, what are these two teams between the Colts and the Titans?
When the Carson Wentz first went to the Colts, I liked the move because of his reuniting with Frank Reich, because the last time Carson Wentz had that success was when Frank Reich was the OC in Philly. And that is why I bought into it. But now we're seeing all these injuries, Quentin Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, and now Carson Wentz dealing with injuries already with his questionable vaccination situation. He's saying it's a personal decision. I think this is the Titans running away at this point, unless the Colts figure out a way to prove me wrong at this point, because I was tempted to pick the Colts for this division. But with the Titans being structured the way they are, guys getting vaccinated without being comfortable about it, Derrick Henry being the best running back in football as it currently stands, I'm going to give it to the Titans.
First of all, you're not stupid, because you didn't want to get banned from the show picking Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. So I will give you credit for not being stupid. Be that as it may, let's take a quick timeout. This is the Invasion Show. This is the ship with Darren Smith, subbing in for Almost Entirely Sports. You're listening to us on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And it's going to stay that way for the next 2 hours as well. Joshua Briscoe, better be careful. I might just stay here.
Coming for that crown.
I might just stay here until my, no, actually, I'm not. I got to go home and shower. I've been in the gym all day. I've got to tell you something, man. My chest is flaring. It's burning right now. Like, I had a hard time sleeping. This is Darren Smith. Of course, we're sitting in tonight for Josh Briscoe, who's on vacation almost entirely sports, being invaded by the ship tonight. Man, I've had a hard time sleeping the last couple of nights because, like, literally I'm feeling calories burning off of me while I'm laying in the bed. And it's driving me crazy because it's keeping me from getting a good night's sleep. And what I did in the gym today, I thought I was going to get arrested for murder. I know the same thing is going to happen to me later on tonight because right now I'm feeling it in my chest right now. They can't see it. They can't see because we're not streaming, but chest is burning up right now.
I would
love
to hear that 911 call. Like, yeah, I'm killing somebody over here. Who's that? My own calories? Like, how's that work, dude? Like, how do they explain that one?
That's actually happened before. There was a cop there. It's like, sir, we're going to have to play shoulder for what? Murder in that workout. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Look, man, we got a couple more divisions here or a couple more conference divisions. Looking at the AFC North. Now, this, you know, AFC North, AFC East, these are going to be on paper. Because it's where we're going. We got to go with on paper at the moment. But, you know, Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals. You know, it used to be a time when you could count on the Cincinnati Bengals. They may not win the AFC North, but they could at least, you could count on being in the playoffs. Now, not so much. I mean, they're not really the laughing stock. This is one of the few games I'm actually dreading going to go cover because the last time I was in Cincinnati, Steve Walls and I, we were there for the Major League Baseball All-Star game. I think it was in 2014 or something like that, and man, we drove into Cincinnati and saw that ugly ass stadium with the green seats, and I'm like, how the hell are the seats green and ain't nowhere, and it's not in their colors,
it's moss buildup, man.
And then I realized they're a cheap ass organization, man, and I see why they can't ever get free agents to go there because they don't pay for nothing,
and their chili's overrated. I mean, that's also a thing.
Huh?
I said, their chili's overrated.
I haven't tried it, but
you ain't missing nothing.
Okay, I keep that in mind. But be that as it may, you know, a lot of people are talking about Cleveland winning, you know, actually a few pundits have them winning the Super Bowl. I'm not going that far. Definitely not going that far. But in this division, I think it's going to come down to Cleveland, Baltimore. I think it's going to be whether or not the health. I am going to go in an upset. I think Baltimore wins this division.
And, you know, that's the thing, is I all offseason I have been saying that this is the perfect opportunity for the Ravens to finally change some things. I know we talk about their division record and all that, or the preseason record and all that stuff, but I'm talking about brass tacks, about winning playoff games, and I think this is an opportunity for the Ravens to surprise some people. The Browns are everyone's darling, so no one's paying attention. For the first time in 3 years, no one's sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson as much as they're talking about the Browns and all this talent they got.
They
whooped the Steelers in the playoffs and all this stuff. I am actually still going to agree with you, despite the loss of J.K. Dobbins, despite some of these inefficiencies that I think the Ravens are still going to have with injuries. I think
they'll get off to a slow start, but I think, you know, they get players back. I'm not expecting a lot from Sammy Watkins, never really did, but I think defensively, and if Lamar really feels that they haven't, you know, figured out a way to stop him, Sky can be the limit. The thing about the Cleveland Browns, I just don't buy Baker Mayfield. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to say he's solid or top tier, but the fact that you got Odell Beckham back, I think, is what's going to be the downfall, because Odell still wants to prove that he's that guy, and he's, you know, he may not say it, but he's going to want the ball the majority of the time, and Baker, trying to keep him happy, is going to try to force feed him, when once he went down, he was able to play a little bit more freely. So I think it will be neck and neck. I can see Cleveland winning. I mean, if they win, I'm not going to be surprised. But I'm not a big believer in Baker Mayfield. And I don't know how injuries are going to play a role. But they're supposed to have the best offensive line. I do love that two-headed monster of the running back position. And that defense has vastly improved. But got to see what it is. But AFC East, before we get out of here for this hour, Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. I really like the Patriots coming back from behind. I think Buffalo ekes it out, perhaps, but I would not be surprised one bit. Actually, I think I might go with the New England Patriots to win this division.
You know what? You're not too wrong about that. I'm going to say that just respectfully. I think the Patriots are going to shock a lot of people. I think Mac Jones is going to be decent. I think their defense will be back with the 8 players that are on opt-outs coming back. A lot of talent. A lot of talent coming back for the Patriots. I think that they will be a playoff team. In fact, I think there's going to be 3 playoff teams out of the AFC East, which is going to be shocking because it used to be called the AFC Least.
Right.
The Dolphins have the easiest schedule in the NFL. I think they're going to be a surprisingly good team. They got better on paper. They were a 10-win team last season with the additional 17th game. I think you're going to see this team make the playoffs as well. The Bills are still the class. They have the best quarterback. I think McDermott's a good, legitimate head coach. That defense is solid enough. That offense is going to be clicking on all cylinders outside of Cole Beasley, maybe causing some sort of problem down the road. But I'm going to still stick with the Bills to win this division.
That 17th game is going to be – it's funny. That's going to factor a lot more than a lot of people think, you know, because, one, you can't go 500 unless you tie in a ball game. And the fact that, you know, going 8-8 – you know, they used to be able to possibly save your job. Now, not so much. You know, I'm with you. I think three teams can get out, but I'm also thinking three teams out of the AFC North because I think Pittsburgh is going to be vastly improved. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, so that's, you know, so that's an issue as well. I will say this: we have completed 1 hour. I'm going to try to get Eric Bischoff on the line. You know, as we talk about this NWO takeover of Almost Entirely Sports. But we're going to come back in the next hour, look at the NFC side of the ball as we preview this upcoming NFL season. You are listening to The Ship with Darren Smith, invading Almost Entirely Sports. Almost Entirely Sports right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We will be right back after this time. And remember, we will be having Seren Petro on in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.